once again, welcome back to the crew247.com. As we're talking sports around the world, we remind you to check us out on our website at thecrew247.com. Check us out on social media, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and all the rest of them. Today we go turn it over to Wani Wan as we go talk boxing, boxing, and boxing. All right, who we got here, Wan?
What's going on, the crew? Again, it's a pleasure to introduce to you guys. We got Alfredo Escarcega Jr. He's a pro fighter here in Phoenix, Arizona. His record right now is 15-1-1, 7 KOs. I've known him since amateur days. I've probably known him a good 10, 12 years. Alfredo, again, it's a pleasure having you on the podcast with us today.
Appreciate you guys having me on the show today. I'm really excited to talk sports, you know, to talk boxing with you guys. So always something I love to do, so I'm excited to be on with you guys.
If you could let our audience know a little bit, Alfredo, about your boxing career, both amateur and pro, if you could just introduce yourself in that regard.
Yeah, my name is Alfredo Escarcega Jr. I'm a multi-national champion as an amateur, now professional fighter with a record of at least 15 wins, one defeat, seven knockouts, you know, just kind of climbing my way up the ranks in the welterweight division. You know, professional about 5 years now, so just, you know, little by little, just putting in the work and continuing to do what I got to do just to grind myself to get to that top.
And the amateurs, about how many fights did you have?
I had at least about 150 amateur fights around there. I've been fighting since I was 8 years old, so it's been a long time.
150 fights.
Yeah, man, right around in that neighborhood around there.
Of course, growing up, I mean, having that many fights, I knew you traveled all over the place. I had the privilege of taking you to Oxnard, you know, with some of the guys when you were a kid. What were some of the places that you boxed here in the United States?
California and the East Coast sometimes. I went all the way to West Virginia, Texas, Arizona, obviously. Different parts of the, you know, the country I'm trying to think of right now. But just, I think as far as I've gone out is to the East, is to West Virginia that I've gone out to.
And why did you choose boxing over other sports?
Boxing kind of chose me, if you want to say that. I didn't really pick to be a fighter. It just kind of happened, you know. I definitely got into the boxing gym at a young age just to learn how to defend myself. And one thing led to another where I just ended up being a lot better than most of the kids there and just have the natural skills. And once I got in the ring, it just seemed all kind of easy to me. And little by little, you know, just kind of led to me starting competing. And then from there, obviously the dream of becoming a world champion and staying dedicated all through these years. And I've continued to do so ever since then.
Now, a lot of people look at boxing, especially nowadays with different guys jumping on, like YouTubers and stuff like that. They just jump in the ring and all that good stuff. But realistically, really, what is a boxing training camp at the professional level? And what does an average boxing workout look like?
Well, for us, we're training, you know, pretty much nonstop throughout the year. We stay ready. Like the cliche is stay ready, don't get ready. So we're always training. But to get ready for a camp, you know, it's about an 8-week camp. And anywhere from, you know, it's about 5 days a week, and anywhere from a training in the gym would be about two and a half hours. And obviously you got your runs, so you go, you know, 30 to an hour for the runs, and you do strength and conditioning as well. So that's another about an hour and a half to 2 hours, depending on how long your training session is. So you're probably clocking in about at least maybe five. So let's do maybe like 25 hours a week of training just for boxing to get ready for a fight. And you do that for 8 weeks. Getting ready for a training camp.
What's more important, lifting weights or the cardio?
Cardio, man, 100%. But it all factors in, you know, the weights and the strength part. All of that factors in. Everything has a piece into it, because you know it all comes in. It's all kind of like a science. I've really noticed that your body's like a car. You know, everything works with, you know, one or another. You know, everything kind of factors in. So you need the running, you need the, you know, the lifting weights, you need the boxing preparation, you need it all. It all goes into the same thing.
Put me in the mind of a boxer. When you get in the ring, dude over there, everybody, the referee talking to you, and he giving you the rules, you bump fists, and then in that moment, while the referee giving you the rules and all that before the fight starts, what's going through your mind at that point? Because now it's prime time.
Yeah. Well, in that moment, it's just, you know, all the preparation, all the training that's gone into the fight. It's just that, you know, for me, it's never been about everything going on around me. It's just about getting in the ring and, you know, getting the job done. At that point, I'm just trying to, I want to build a ring. I want to get started. I want to get the punches going, you know, because It's all, you know, it's all a show at the end of the day for the people. But for us, it's, you know, it's our job. It's our livelihood. You know, we want to get in there, get, you know, get the job done and get out and be safe for our families.
All right. So to you, Alfredo, what is the biggest difference between amateur boxing and pro boxing?
It's a huge difference. It's obviously the punches hurt a lot more. You know, there's a lot more dangers around it when it comes to, you know, your headbutts. You don't wear headgears anymore and different punches. The gloves are a lot smaller. Obviously the crowds factor in, but to me, it's just necessarily, you know, the overall, like, I want to say, like, the level of danger is like 10 times the amount. I think that's the biggest difference. Okay. Just like, you know, every little thing factors in a lot more, whether it's the punches, whether it's the headbutts, you know, the amount of rounds. I think it all kind of factors in, and it's a lot more dangerous, and it's a lot more of a, you know, a liability to your health. So I think it takes a lot more of a discipline and a lot more of a focus to be a professional boxer than it is to be an amateur fighter.
Yeah, and I think to a lot of people don't totally understand that is at the amateur level, it's about the safety of the competitor, the safety of the mm-hmm. boxer. At the pro level, now they'll kind of stop it faster than normal, but they let you go. If you're standing and if you're coherent, the only person that can stop the fight besides the fighter is of course, the doctor and the ref, but then the chief second. You have a chief second that says, hey, my fighter's done. You know, let's stop the fight. But other than that, I mean, if you're standing, they're gonna let you go, right?
Yeah, no, it's a hurting business, right? It's definitely like you say, you know, it's a fight game, so it's for the knockouts. People go for the knockouts. That's what the whole entertainment is of boxing. So if they continue to you know, provide a fight and the fighters are both fighting back and forth, and you know, it's an entertaining fight, they're gonna want to keep the fight going. So I think that's the biggest thing here. And then the amateurs, like we said, they want to protect the kids a lot more. They want to keep it as a pure sport more than, you know, the hurting business like they do in professional fighting. So I think they do a little bit more of a better job, I think, of stopping fights, protecting the fighters, you know, having a little bit more safety precautions. But, you know, professional level, you know what you're signing up for. It's, you know, it's to get to that next level. You gotta put a risk yourself. You every time you step in that ring, it's a risk. So I think we all know that, and we all share that when we get into the boxing ring. And I think it's something that you have to respect on both ends, whether it's you as the opponent or the other opponent across the ring from you.
Now, our podcast, we do bring in a lot of the business aspect of it because realistically, that's what we're looking at. Professional, it's a business. You yourself are a business. People don't look at it that way, but pretty much you're a small business. You got to take care of yourself. You got to eat right. You got to exercise, like you're saying. What are some of the business things you learned in regards to professional boxing that you didn't know or you didn't see at the amateur level?
I didn't realize that it was all business, man, and the professional levels. At the end of the day, it's all about the managers, the promoters that you have around you to get you to that next level. And that's what I've seen it is. It's, you know, a lot of guys have to – and it's part of the – I guess the kind of the story of a lot of fighters, right? You got to claw your way up to get to that next level. It's just about, you know, who you have around you and making the best of opportunities as you can. That's why we always say that you got to train hard all the time because you never know when that right call comes and it's, you know, the right people around you and the right person sees you in the ring. And it's just, that's all it takes. It's just one person to see you and to give you a chance. It's happened to a lot of fighters. We've seen it with our own here in Phoenix, and it's all it takes is just, you know, just to be ready, look good, and have the right opportunities, because at the end of the day, it's a business before anything else. And I think that the promoters and the managers look to find the next, you know, stars. And what you got to always think about that, you know, it's more professional boxing is, I always treat it like a business or more than a sport at this point.
I know you've been around boxing for years, man. Who are some of the biggest names that you've either sparred with or been in the ring with?
I've been in there with Jose Benavides from here from Phoenix, brother David Benavides, with Mikey Garcia, different guys at the RGBA gym, I want to say. That have been, you know, Virgil Ortiz, he's a young upcoming star. Just a lot of guys like that. I think top of my head right now, but there's like tons of fighters that I've been able to spar with and been able to share the ring with. But there's been a lot of them, man. I just obviously coming to my head right now. I've also different guys that I sparred with, other world champions before too, that I fought with as well. So I'm trying to think of guys that I tipped the top of my head, but there's been a bunch of them.
You're good. I know you've been around for years. I've been around for years. So we run into guys, sometimes the guys that you fought with, it becomes your friends later. They become your sparring partners. A lot of people don't know that back end of it because, of course, when they're selling a fight, they're out there, they're talking stuff, they're being crazy and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff is just showmanship. But at the end of the day, like you said earlier, everybody has families. Everybody really wants to go home to their families and make their money. You know what I mean? But that's just part of the showmanship of it, correct?
100%. I think I haven't had to deal with that yet, pretty much. I've had a couple guys that talked a little bit of smack, but that's what they told me. That this is how we make our money. This is how we get our chance to get on fights and have opportunities to get ourselves, our you know, our names called, our numbers called for that. So I've heard it a couple times, but I haven't been at that big level yet. So I can only imagine that that's just the way it sells, you know, the fights, because we all buy into it, right? It's an entertainment, you know, factor to it. So I think all of us buy into it. And I think it's just part of the business. I think at the end of the day, it's a sport, man, but people sometimes take it to the next level.
So I know you mentioned earlier, and it's a 8-week training camp. Sometimes you get a call a little bit earlier, so it might just be 6-7 weeks. But here you are. You're a boxer. You train this much. You did all this calisthenics. You ran the mountains 8-10 miles, whatever it is. Finally, it's fight night. You go there. You're in the locker room. You're taped up already. Your coach gave you your final instructions. What is that feeling like when you're walking out of the locker room, when you're hearing your music, going to the ring? What is that feeling like?
I just feel like it's a certain, I guess, feeling nobody can really understand unless you get in that situation. But it's more or less just like a kind of a focus thing, right? You know, you got to be able to relax your mind, know what you're doing, know what's going on. You know, like I said, we've been here before. Like, especially myself now at this point, I have enough experience that I feel like, obviously if I get to the next level and it'll be a bigger arena, a bigger stage, it'll be something new to me. But at the end of the day, is getting into the ring is something that I've been doing since I was a little kid. Something new to me. It's just focusing myself, believing in myself, and knowing what I've done in the training camp and on the years before that you know, allows me to have that confidence. Because at the end of the day, it's all about confidence. You have to know that and always feel like there's nobody that can beat you when you step into the ring.
Of course, you started, obviously, you've been boxing since you was 8.
Yes, sir.
That was on the amateur level. So what goes into that decision to go from an amateur boxer to a professional boxer?
It had always been my dream to go to the Olympics, you know, compete for the USA team. And at the moment, at that time frame, it was about 2016 year, they had changed the rules and the age limit from 18 to 19 years old at the time. They changed the rules. And at that moment, I was like, man, I don't want to wait another 4 years to turn professional and this. I wish, I'm not lying, if I could take it all back, I wish I would have. I would have just done that, gone to college, and then turned pro later. But that's all in the past now. But at the end of the day, I just wanted to turn professional since I was a little kid, right? It's always been my dream. I've been looking up to these fighters. You know, you got the De La Hoyas, you got the Vargases, all those guys that you see growing up. You want to be those guys, you know. So I've always had that mindset, and especially since I was a kid, they've always offered me to play other sports, man. I never wanted to. It was just boxing, boxing, boxing. And at the end of the day, it was always my ultimate goal to become professional, and I'm still chasing that to become a world champion.
So boxing is almost like football. It's a high-risk injury. So, I mean, what do mama say when she see her baby in that ring? Does she be crying like, don't hit him?
I'm sure she has a feeling about it. So does even my father. He's my trainer. But it's just something that they've grown up. I guess they've grown with me and over my years of seeing me in there. I'm pretty sure now as a professional, it's a little more of a scare now. That's why we got to prepare 10 times harder. But, you know, it's not an easy thing to do. Obviously, that's why I don't want to fight too long of my life, because it's, in the end of the day, my life is more important than boxing. So, you know, I'm sure she gets worried about it, but she definitely does her part to support me and doesn't give me any crap about it. She just gives me crap if I'm not training hard. That's pretty much what she does.
Oh, so she a boxing fan too, huh?
Yeah, she's on me. She's like another coach. She's always grilling me if I'm not training and doing my part.
You get to know both feet. See, I asked about moms to see. Dad, you're training. I know Dad. He like, that's my boy. You better knock him out.
Yeah.
That's a dad's face.
Yeah, no, she's got to pride herself. You know, she's always at the fight. She's always supporting. She never misses any fights. So my mom's always there.
Oh, so she one of them screaming and hollers, huh? Like, get him.
Yeah.
Get him.
Yeah, she's always out there. She's always on there.
Hey, Alfredo, like yourself, I grew up in a boxing family where my father was the coach. That dynamic is not always the easiest, because you go to the gym and that's your coach, and you go home and that's your dad. Could you speak a little bit about that dynamic regarding father-son coach, boxer coach?
Yeah, it's definitely an interesting one because we see it a lot, right? And it's people say, oh, it's hard to do and it's not easy to do. But at the end of the day, you got to be able to know how to be able to distinguish that, especially like I see that for the trainer. Obviously, as the kid and the fighter, it's harder, you know, when you're the guy, you know, you're the fighter, you're the, you know, you think, oh, I'm doing this wrong, you know, I don't want to listen to my dad. But you got to be able to put that aside. But as the coach, I think it's a little bit harder, especially for the trainers. I think, you know, being your father and you know, and being the coach, I think you have to be able to be successful. I think in that situation, you got to be able to distinguish and you know, keep those two things apart. I think my dad does a very good job at doing that. He always leaves it, the father part at the, you know, at the door. He doesn't give me any special treatment. He doesn't, you know, he treats us all the same, gives us all the same amount of respect. Obviously, if the fight was if it was me or any other guys that he trains that are in a situation where they're in trouble or in danger, he's going to stop the fight. He doesn't look at it like I'm, you know, he's my dad when it's the boxing part. And I know it's stressful because he has to be able to separate that, but it's just doing that. It's pretty much just separating the overall thought that that's my father, you know, I'm disrespecting him or he's disrespecting me, whatever. You got to be able to leave that ahead. You know, you guys are going to bang heads. You know, like I said, it was me and my dad been doing this since I was a kid. So it's kind of a thing you get used to. Growing up, it's a little bit harder when I was a teenager, and you know, I was kind of a little more of a pain in the ass to him. But you know, the older I've gotten, the more mature I've gotten now as an adult. It's a lot easier now. It's just listening to what he says, and like he says, you know, I'm an adult now, so a lot of the training and all the things that he has me do, it falls on myself to get it done. If not, you know, he's not gonna do it for me. I'm not a little boy anymore. He can't push me like the way he used to. It's about me being accountable and doing my own stuff. So I think he's just there guiding me and. Like I said, he always looks out for the best interest of me and all the other fighters. So at the end of the day, I think it's one of those things that it's easy to do if the trainer, which is the father, knows how to distinguish that for the fighter.
Yeah, I think it definitely does take a certain maturity level, like you're saying, for both of them to mature, because we see it a lot. I see it a lot, you know, where father, son, they fight each other. Even look at Floyd Mayweather and his daddy were fighting. Like, it was his coach for a while, then after that they fought, and then they didn't even become, you know, trainers anymore. And then, you know, Floyd Sr. Was coaching De La Hoya, and he almost coached him against his own son, but he was like, hey, I can't coach against my own son. So he let somebody else coach him, you know? So that definitely does show a different maturity level that both the fighter and the son, the coach and the son have to both have.
Now, you say that y'all separate the two, but I know from coaching 40 plus years that sometime after a match or after practice, y'all go to the same house and y'all ain't speaking to each other. Y'all bad at each other. I know it lasts for maybe a day or two, but you got it. It's there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's been there. There's been some days where, yeah, you know, you get grilled a little bit after the gym or whatnot. Isn't, you know, my dad always tried to do his best where you can, like, keep it there and, like, kind of leave me alone about it. But, yeah, it's happened before. You know, there's no lies that growing up where I didn't have a couple of days or, man, why did you do this wrong or this and this and this or, you know, us arguing and, like you said, you have a couple of days where we're kind of like a little bit of tension there, but in the day, yeah, it's just been a whole thing growing up. You know, it's not easy to do having your dad as your coach. At the end of the day, I know it's like I said, it's equal about all the fighters. I always feel like I was always pushed the hardest. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it also I feel like it's the way that I've always been raised, and I'm just used to it. Being pushed is just in my DNA. I think it's just the way my dad raised me, and like I said, it's instilled a lot in me, and I definitely think that it's helped me as a fighter because I'm very mentally strong because of it.
Being a boxer, did that give you any leverage with the girls?
It did, man, but I don't know why I got a girlfriend now, so I'm relaxing on that one.
but beforehand, okay, I got you. Wait. We know she may be watching this show, so we ain't gonna ask.
Of course, man, and I love her so much, but at the end of the day, yeah, it's just, I think it's always about a confidence thing, man, that's all it is.
Okay, I got you. Wink.
So I know what is your ultimate goal? Of course, everybody wants to be a world champion. What is your ultimate goal? How long do you see yourself in the sport of boxing? And then ultimately, where do you see yourself, you know, after you do transition from the competing level?
I see myself, you know, fighting at least another, you know, at least until I'm about 30. I don't want to get too far into it. You know, I want to win a title. You know, make a little bit of money, invest that, do some different things, you know, just have a good setup for my, you know, for me, my family, you know, my girlfriend and whatnot, and the things that we want to do going forward. Like, obviously, start a family ourselves. So that's just what I'm trying to do, you know, just secure myself, you know, win that championship. That's definitely my biggest goal. But at the end of the day, I want to secure a little bit for my family, have a little bit of a little, you know, definitely a payoff from all this hard work that I've done for all these years, because it's, it's not easy, you know, and it's been a lot of blood, sweat, and tears at the end of the day. So that's my ultimate goal, just to make a little bit of money, make some, you know, come out healthy. And if I can win, you know, a title or two, that's what I want. You know, at the end of the days, I'm not looking to just chase super glory, but I want to become a champion. That's my biggest thing. And if it comes to that point where I do get to that point and I start to see myself there, which doesn't mean I definitely do. I always see myself to becoming a multi-division champion, but it's just getting to that point, and it's just, you know, making some money and doing what I got to do. But after boxing, you know, I'm looking to already start doing that now. Like I said, doing this right here is things that I love to do, is being in the media. I want to, you know, get behind the booth, call some fights. People, you know, it's been one of my things to do. And you know, start some other little things, you know, other ventures like my real estate stuff that I'm going to try to do on the side as well. So just kind of make some little ventures and just make the right business moves for myself to continue to have things to do when I get done boxing, because, you know, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get bored when I'm not training.
As you mentioned before, you found out probably in a way that you didn't realize it's a business. It's not a sport. So how do you go about approaching agents, or how do agents go about approaching you guys? Or I guess in boxing, you might call it promoters. So how does promoters go about approaching you guys to represent you guys?
Well, we just kind of have my right now, I just have my father helping me out. He helps me, you know, talk to the people, talk to the promoters, talk to the fighters and other, you know, people that want to get involved with us and things like that. You know, obviously we want to get a manager, because at that point that's what the manager's for. So, you know, we're just kind of working our way to get to that next level, because then you don't have to really do it ourselves. But right now it's just that, you know, it's me and my dad pretty much doing this since we've been doing this with our kids, like that, you know, just us two. And you know, like I said, I trust my father more than anybody else, because he's the one that has the best interest in me. And that's been the same way as my coach, you know, because I've been to big high level professional coaches, you know, world class trainers myself, and I've seen how it is. But, and I'm not saying they're not, you know, they didn't help me, but you know, nobody has better interest than your father. So I think that's just what it is. You know, at the end of the day, I was gonna listen to the advice of my dad and just kind of work with that.
So how does the doors open for one to get the big fights, or to get in that real arena?
I think it just takes the you know, the hard work, and you know, God willing, things work out for you. You know, it's just opportunities, man. That's all it is one opportunity comes your way, and you better be ready for it, because it can be just that one life-changing one for you. Or obviously you can take your time and build yourself a little bit slower, but I'm kind of at the point now where I kind of want to get to that next level a little bit faster than just kind of waiting and sitting around for, you know, different calls. Like I said, we're getting ready now for that point, you know, to cross to that next level.
And like you're saying, with any sport, you got to take a risk. And sometimes with
Yeah.
boxing, that's what it is. Sometimes you're the B side. Sometimes you're the underdog. You got to go out there and, you know, take that risk. And you know, high risk, high reward. Sometimes you might lose it, but you know that it happens in all sports. How does it feel, or how is it when you're a professional? I think you're 14-0. Then you finally took your first defeat. How does that affect you? How do you come back from that? What does that look like? Because a lot of people that might destroy them, a lot of people, you know, that might hurt them, but then some people come back and make them more hungrier. How did that affect you when you took your first defeat as a professional?
It was one of those things that I think nobody ever expects, right? But at the end of the day, this is boxing, and it's been many years. And other than the Floyd Mayweather effect that we see now, everybody wants to be undefeated. A lot of great champions have taken losses, and especially even early on in their careers. It might have been a little bit earlier than I thought. And like I said, it was a lot of factors that were outside of kind of my control at that time, with me not knowing. That, you know, for the reasons that I performed the way I did, I was sick with COVID without really knowing for so long. And, you know, I really had really bad issues when I was fighting, and I didn't know what it was until I figured it out with my doctors. But at that time, you know, I kind of figured it all as like a kind of like something that kind of happened for a reason. Like I said, I don't think God makes mistakes for anything. And I really believe that everything happens for a reason. And then honestly, it's like my dad had said in a post, he says, like, you know, you see who you really are after you lose. And you see what the people are around you that, you know, want to be there for you. And at the end of the day, it shows that I, you know, who I am when I came back from the loss. You know, it was never a question about me and the way it was going to happen. You know, I always had that mindset going that I was going to come back extra hard, train extra hard. And I mean, at the end of the day, it just kind of woke me up. So I just feel pretty good about it. Like I said, I'm not afraid about it. If anything, it might have given me an opportunity. I feel like the guy that I had fought at that time, you know, he had just suffered his first loss. He came back and beat me. So, and he got an opportunity on a bigger card. You know, I think everything happens for a reason. And I think if I can get the chance in the future to avenge that loss, I'll do it. Because I know I wasn't the man in that run that I was that night was not the man I am, you know, today or that I actually ever am when I fight. So at the end of the day, man, it's just it's a small thing. I think that everybody has to be able to face if it happens to them. Like I said, I'm not afraid of it. At the end of the day, you know, this it's a sport. You gotta you know, it's a risk. You gotta take a risk to gain something, right? Josito Lopez told me that on my birthday, he gave me a risk. He told me he's like, take risks, young man. That's my advice to you. So that's what I'm gonna do, man. He's a former world champion. I'm gonna take those risks and I'm gonna pay off, you know. But if I want to do it 110%, I want to go in 110%. So that's what I'm gonna do.
I know this episode is gonna be ending here soon, but I wanted to ask you, big mega fight coming up, one of the fights of that we've been looking for. How do you see Crawford and Spence playing out in a couple weeks?
It's a 50-50 fight. I'm really excited about it. I'm actually going to be calling that fight after when I get done. I'm going to do a little podcast for it too. But I'm honestly not really too sure. I'm kind of leaning towards Errol Spence just because of the size, but obviously the skills that Terrence Crawford has and is able to do, you know, his movement in the ring and different things that they both can do. I think it's a very, very good stylistic fight. So for me, it's a 50-50 guy. I think anybody can take it out. It just kind of just sees who can hurt who in the fight and we'll kind of see from there. But I'm still kind of picking Spence in a, you know, close decision, maybe from 115, 112 around there, but it's going to be a really close fight. I can see Terrence Crawford winning that fight too, but it's going to be one of those amazing fights. And hopefully it's not one of those that kind of lets us down, but I think it's going to be an all action packed fight. Yeah. I can't hear you.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. Well, I was letting y'all do y'all thing.
No, you good, Coach. Thank you.
Let me ask you one more quick question. You said you to keep going till you get about 30. If you don't mind me asking for my audience, how old are you now?
I'm 25, so obviously it's a small number, right, to be 5 years. But at the end of the day, I have a goal, and that's, you know, to prioritize, you know, having a family, you know, doing the right things for myself. So, you know, it's a smaller window gap, but at the end of the day, you know, I want to make sure that I can do everything I want to do. And that's, you know, obviously if I can push a little bit longer, I will do that. But at the end of the day, you know, it's about my health, more importantly. I've been doing this since I was, you know, 8 years old. I've been boxing since I was 8, so I've been fighting almost like 17 years, man. It's been a long time.
I got a little boxing in me now. I might come down there and take you home for maybe half a round. I ain't going to last half a round.
I'm gonna just move around a little bit, man. Let you get tired.
Yeah,
we might go about 30 seconds then. If that's the
case. Wait, we're gonna train Butterbean again and let him go out to coach.
Uh-oh. There you go.
The coach with Wani Wan and Alfredo. Did I get it right?
Yes, sir. You know, yes, sir.
I do major league, so I'm good at butchering names now. So I tell him in a minute, I'll butcher your name.
It's all good. You mess it up every once in a while, but then I'll get on you the next time.
Okay, we got you. Coach Wani Wan and Alfredo at the crew247.com. We thank you for tuning into our show and we'll definitely get you back and you keep us posted on those upcoming fights you got.
Yes, sir. I'll keep you guys in the loop. Appreciate you guys for having me. Like I said, I'll be looking forward to catching you guys' shows in the future. And like I said, I'll be on again if you guys ever want to.
All right, awesome. Again, Alfredo, thank you for joining us on this episode of the podcast. We appreciate you being on here, bro.
Thank you guys for having me so much. I appreciate you guys inviting me onto the show. Like I said, I would love to be on again and definitely talk some more sports with you guys. You know, it's something I love to do all the time for you guys.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Take care.